credit is always a gray area when you're trying to talk about change, but especially when you're talking about change, it feels like it's late and we haven't heard any apology with it. And that was much of the conversation yesterday around the Washington football team changing, announcing that they will be changing their name. Golic and Wingo on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, Sirius XM Channel 80, and your smart speakers. Jason fits in for Trey Wingo, sitting with Mike Golic. Mike Golic Jr., presented by Progressive Insurance, and all of our guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Gentlemen, obviously yesterday the large portion of the conversation around the sports world was the Washington football team electing to change their name, and several people have spoken out on how much credit Dan Snyder deserves in this. We talked about it yesterday. This feels like a money-based move, but I think the more the statement came out while we were on air yesterday, we read the statement in the moment. The more I read the statement yesterday, I kept going back to the fact that it was on team letterhead and it had the team name referenced in it, and there's no attempt at any sort of the appearance of some apology. I don't think the Washington football team is necessarily looking for that. They're basically coming out like a kid that's been told they have to do something and saying, fine, we'll do it. But I don't think they're looking for any great credit for doing it.
Well, I don't know what they're looking for, but I guess it's what are people willing to give them? Are people willing to say, hey, great job? Are people willing to say, hey, NASCAR, great job getting rid of the Confederate flag that you were trying to do 5 years ago, but you never did? There's always two ways to look at this. If nothing was going on in the world hadn't changed from the social justice issues that we have going on right now, would they be called the Washington Redskins this year? Yes. Right. So something prompted that change. And we've been talking about that change for a while. And Daniel Snyder, just 7 years ago, I know that seems like a long time, but it's not, said, I will never change this name. But something came along, social justice issues that have stuck a little more this time, because we've seen the steam build and then the steam go out and things kind of go back to the norm. And this time it hasn't. There is effective change going on in a lot of areas. So now they were pressured into this. And let's be honest, you could say for social change reasons, but financial reasons without question. So I don't know if we're necessarily looking to give credit somewhere. And I could see for those people that wouldn't want to give them credit for doing something that should have been done a while ago, they flat out, they were forced to do it, right? They were forced into this situation, and Daniel Snyder was forced to finally say, I have to make a change. If you don't want to give him credit, you know, that's fine. I mean, I don't think there'd be many people that'll stand up and say, boy, Daniel, what a great move. What a guy that you are to do this in this way. I don't think many were standing up and doing that. Hell, there are some players that wish they hadn't changed the name. Jeff Bostic, you know, a guy I played against, you know, it was one of the Hogs, said he would always call it the Washington Redskins. So there are some that, and a lot of people bring up that Washington Post poll years ago where the Native Americans who were polled, and like 90% said they have no problem with the name. So credit, are we handing out credit or not? I don't know if anybody's looking to run to hand Daniel Snyder any credit.
Daryl Green is. Daryl Green joined the Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN yesterday, and this is what he had to say.
I extremely applaud Mr. Dan Snyder for this decision. I think it's the right thing. It's the honorable thing, and it gets us in position, man, to move forward. Just like so many other things have been done in the nation in this last several months and weeks, that it really positions us. I think it also adds to how we speak to the fact that maybe human beings will finally take their position again of being the most important of all creation. Meaning that they're more important than money, they're more important than sports, they're more important than a computer, more important than your Lamborghini. Human beings and how they feel and how they care. Matter of fact, the Bible says, oh, no man, nothing but the loving. We can just love one another, and we can give people a chance to be successful just by having peace. And so Dan Snyder is the hero of the day, in my opinion.
And listen, on the other side of that,
no.
Daryl Green's a teammate in Washington, Jeff Bostic. I'll always call them the Washington Redskins. I'm sorry. He said, I've got great memories, great game scenarios that played out that are all part I'll never forget the rest of my life. It was an honor for us to put the helmet on that had the Redskins emblem on the sides. This is a political and financial decision. This isn't what most people want. I'm sure if you're taking polls in the D.C. area, how many want to keep or change it, I guarantee you, the overwhelming number is probably to keep it.
Polls of who in the D.C. area?
Well, a lot of people, I mean, people talk about Daniel Snyder having it in his wallet. We'll pull out the poll of Native Americans.
But that's a poll of 504 people. So over 5 million Native Americans in the U.S.
Right.
They
no, I understand. Right. Yeah, like, asking you. I'm just telling you.
It's it's the Daniel Snyder thing that we've seen constantly, which is find just enough of an example I need to confirm the opinion I want to continue to have about the thing that I've been shown time and time again to be wrong about. Like, there's no disrespect to Daryl Green. Daniel Snyder deserves no credit for this.
Listen, Daryl Green, again, one hell of a player, and he's happy for the change. I agree. I don't think anybody should stand up and be applauding Daniel Snyder for this. We are going to talk to Mark Schlereth in about a half hour, who I played against when I was at the Eagles and he was with Washington. Vinny Serrato was in the front office there as well. We'll talk to him later in the show on their thoughts. But yeah, I agree. I don't think there should be this any kind of stand and applaud for this move Daniel Snyder made.
The only thing I think, it feels like we're shadow boxing against something here, because I haven't really gotten any sense, at least from what we've seen so far, where's the indication that Dan Snyder's looking for a bunch of credit? I mean, we didn't see in the statement Snyder saying anything about, like, that there hasn't been some
self-aggrandizing. I'm not saying he's looking for credit. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying no one should be giving it to him. Daryl Green was, you know what, and this could be response to a small sample size in this, because I don't think people are looking to do it. I think based on the statement and the response that we have seen, the Redskins are content to go through this doing the bare minimum in this situation. And this would be like giving credit to a guy with a history of cheating because he decided, based on his family all saying, we're going to leave you if you don't stop doing this to her, to all of a sudden pat him on the back and say, good job not being a dirtbag anymore and cheating on your spouse in this situation. So we don't need to pat anyone in the back. We didn't, and this was consistent. It's not like we were patting NASCAR in the back when they made their decision either. The difference is in the response after the fact, when you've had opportunities to display some semblance of remorse for what happened. NASCAR admitted that. Now, we didn't think it was genuine, but they doubled down. And when everything happened with Bubba Wallace, they supported Bubba Wallace in that. And they start to get a little bit of credit for, all right, going out in that situation. And even if after the fact, the FBI comes in and finds out it wasn't by their standards a hate crime, NASCAR can say, we had the back of someone that was in our family in all of this one. And that you can start to look at and say, that's a building block going forward. Daniel Snyder and Washington have not had any of those yet. There has not been a moment where they have gone out and in their response to this situation, one that they were forced into, showed us that there's any degree of remorse or progress, transparency in going forward. What are you going to do to rectify what we all view as wrong?
And that's, I think, one of the core issues here is that we as a society, and I won't say we as in me, but a group in society has asked the Washington football team to change their name. Dan Snyder is doing that. Now everybody's saying, okay, well, what about your contrition? And where's your apology? And where's, like, these are all extra layers. Like, if I'm Dan Snyder and I never believed it should have been changed in the first place, and I think we all agree that that's how he felt,
oh,
right?
Absolutely.
He never believed it should have been changed in the first place. We're not going to get those things, and I don't think he really gives a damn what we think about that.
I don't even know why we would expect that. I mean, he's this guy that said I'd never change his name, so I wouldn't expect him to show contrition. Another guy that doesn't think Dan Snyder deserves any pat on the back is our own Bomani Jones.
If it's the right thing to do to change it, then you need to acknowledge the fact that it was wrong, and you need to acknowledge why it was wrong. The problem is Snyder's been standing on lies for 20 years to try to say why this name was justified and try to pull out any Native American that he could find to say, hey, this guy says it's okay, so it must be okay. Nah, man, they get no props for this. They don't get anything positive in the name of this, and I'm not even sure I feel good about this idea of the Washington Red Tails, because I don't understand why in the world the name of this team has anything to do with the military. They said that on their statement on July 3rd, that we want to have a name that honors our military. Explain to me how the last name honored the military, because it sounds to me like if that was honoring the military, then you were acknowledging that you were taking a victory lap on the Native Americans by saying, hey, this is honoring these people whom you have conquered. What was that? Oh, okay, cool. So what, that didn't make any sense? So what are we doing here, man? All these things that they keep coming up with behind a name, your name doesn't have to be something that deep. It just has to stop being a racial slur, and you don't get credit for no longer calling somebody a racial slur.
I guess to Jason's point, I don't know if Daniel Snyder was looking for credit doing it. There are people giving him credit, like Daryl Green, And I guess when we see that, I guess we want to point out, wait a minute, why are you giving him credit for doing something that should have been done?
And it's one person, and so maybe we shouldn't react as strongly to it. And so I would say this. This is the comfort level I would have going forward. The next time we hear from Washington, let me hear from you with the name change. Make it sure that it's not, like, clear the lowest bar that it's not a racial slur and that it's not offending someone, and then keep it moving. Get out of our way. I don't need to hear from Daniel Snyder or any of the people there anymore.
Mark Schlereth joins us, three-time Super Bowl champion, obviously a legend, Washington offensive lineman. So, Stank, I'll start by asking you the obvious here. Your reaction to Washington deciding to change their team name and logo is?
Well, first off, good morning. Gola, congratulations on an unbelievable 20-year run. Thank you for allowing me to be a part of it all those years. I really appreciate it. Perspective speaking, from the Washington Redskins is it's time. It's been time for quite some time. So, you know, what's in a nickname is what I would ask you. And to me, the nickname has nothing to do with what was established in that community with that football team. The nickname is a very small part. When people talk about heritage and people talk about legacy, it has nothing to do with the nickname of the team that you represent. I mean, let's be honest. A person's color or ethnicity should not. That's a pretty simple fix, right? Change the nickname. But the bottom line to me is all the great men, all the great people, all the great women that made that organization what it is. Right? No. That Skins is all about. And so for me, it's, you know, it's George Allen and it's, you know, it's guys like Charlie Taylor and Bobby Mitchell and Charles Mann and Art Monk and Monty Coleman and Jeff Bostic and Joe Jacoby and Russ Grimm, the Hogs, for crying out loud. That's what made that organization great. Joe Gibbs. So, you know, that to me is the essence of what the Washington football team is all about. The nickname really doesn't mean anything to me, and I don't think it should mean anything to anybody, honestly, because that's not what the Washington football team is all about. It's about the men who sacrificed to win championships there and to make that organization great and to be part of that community for so many years.
Talking to Mark Schlereth right now, who, again, he and I on the field played against each other a number of times when I was in Philadelphia and he was with Washington. And, Mark, I appreciate the nice words. As far as the show, again, the 23 years I've been doing it, you've been basically part of the show at a very steady way for about 16 of those years. So I appreciate you helping me out in all those years as well. And I'm sure hopefully our work paths will cross again. In the future, you mentioned some of your teammates there, one being Daryl Green, another being Jeff Bostic. Daryl Green basically praising Daniel Snyder for this move. Jeff Bostic saying he does not, and he will always think of this as the Washington Redskins. So when you guys were all together playing, was the nickname ever discussed then in what it meant and where it may go?
Sure. I mean, it was always one of those things that would come up every couple of years. You know, there would be some type of either protest at the stadium, some type of, you know, people being upset with the name. And it was always told to us from the day you walked in that this is a great sense of pride. And it's about, you know, the pride of and the heritage of these wonderful people and indigenous people and yada, 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 yada. And I'll be honest with you, 22, 23 years old coming in, I'm just trying to make a football team. If that's what you tell me it's about, I'm like, yeah, I'm good with that. Yeah, it's all pride. Let's roll. And, you know, and as you get older and you mature and you grow and you get new information and you actually absorb some of that information, you know, your opinion changes over time. And I get that guys think about that you know, the Redskins and the nickname and what it meant. But to me, that has nothing to do with it. You know, I said this years ago. We were going through some struggles when I was with the Denver Broncos in 1997. And I called a team meeting. And essentially said, listen, guys, you know, guys are showing up late. We had lost two games in a row. We were one of the top teams in the National Football League at that time. I called this team meeting, and I'm like, listen, guys, Pat Bowlen is not the Denver Broncos. Mike Shanahan is not the Denver Broncos. If Mike Shanahan had to go out on a football field and make a play, you'd need a smoke bomb to get him out of the locker room. He'd be standing in a puddle of piss. And we are the Denver Broncos. It is us. It's not that freaking nickname. It's not the guy who writes the checks. It's not the guy who calls the play. It is us. We are we are the Broncos. We are the Redskins. So, you know, the fan base, that's what it's about. And so, like, whether it's the Red Tails or the Red Wolves or the Hogs or, yeah, it doesn't matter to me. It's still the essence of what that team means to that community. And, yeah, they've been on hard times since Dan Snyder took over. But the bottom line is there is a lot of pride, and that pride to me is those guys who taught me how to play football, who taught me what the NFL was all about, and honestly taught me how to be a man, taught me how to be a father, taught me how to be a good citizen, you know, encouraged me in Christ. Those are the guys that to me are the embodiment of the Washington Redskins. And so regardless of what the nickname is, that doesn't mean squat to me.
Talking to Mark Schlereth with us here on Golic and Wingo. Perfectly put, as Washington says goodbye to that. But you mentioned the team, the people that make the engine go on this, the players, the guys in the locker room. And so I'm curious, Mark, as we stare at a more uncertain situation inside those locker rooms than ever before, and conversations are being had with the players and with the NFL on how we proceed going forward, a lot of those centering around how they ramp back up to action. I'm curious, as a guy who played a lot of football and played football, you know, had a long veteran career, looking at this situation as a player, what would you need to feel comfortable with going into this season, knowing everything involved with the virus, with the shorter timeline, to feel like you were ready to go and ready to play?
Well, I mean, I would, me personally, like, football players play football, so I would be like, hey, you know, if I got to wear a mask or I got to put a face shield on my helmet or whatever the case may be, I'm willing to do that. It's what I did. It's the way I played. I mean, you know, I suffered, I never felt good for a game. I've suffered millions of, or hundreds of injuries and, you know, and that's just the way playing football is. So there's a certain aspect of playing the game that I understand is a health risk. And so I would look at COVID-19 the same way. I would do everything I could do, just like I'm doing now, in my power to keep myself healthy, wearing a mask when I'm required to wear a mask into public places and all those different things. I would do all that stuff. And then as far as playing the game is concerned, the preseason games were important to me. You know, it was important to me to get a rhythm. It was important to me to establish the way we were going to play as a football team. I always say they don't count, but they do matter. And so it was important to get some of those, you know, those game snaps, if you will. Obviously, I think I could do it without, as a veteran player, I could do it without. But it was certainly imperative in my career, my rookie year, to play special teams, to cover, to run down as R1 on kickoff cover and cover kicks, and to do all those things that helped me make that football team initially. As a veteran, yeah, I could do it without preseason, but this preseason was still very important to me. Even as a 12-year veteran, in my 12th year, it was still important to me to go down and get a couple of drives in and try to dispense some justice.
You were on kickoff early on?
I was on kickoff cover, yeah. You know what? And the wow. First kickoff cover I ever ran down, because I was I could flat run. And so this is before, well, and I still had a bunch of knee injuries coming out of college, but I could run. But I was on R1. I go down in the Hall of Fame game goal against the Buffalo Bills, and I make I get an assist, a wedge bust. Back then, you know, we had the wedge. Yeah. I get a wedge bust and assist on a tackle. And I come on the sideline, you know, I'm getting high five from the old line coach and from all the players, right? And I'm like, I just made this team, man. I can cover kickoffs. The very next kickoff goal, I got hit by about a 240-pound fullback. I don't know where he came from. I think he came off the sideline. I mean, snot rocket, both nostrils, back of my helmet. It's the first thing that hit the turf. And from that point forward, I was worthless on special teams. I was running down, my head on a swivel. I was the last guy down. I was like, I am never, ever going to get hit like that again, ever. And that eventually, like 2 weeks later, they took me off a kickoff cover because I might as well have been playing safety. That's how bad I was. I was behind the kicker. Like, you go. You get him.
yeah, you got it.
You know what, Mark? It all worked out pretty well for you, my friend. It all worked out. Well.
Smart business decision.
It is. Hey, Mark, appreciate you coming on this morning, man. I'll talk to you. All right.
Hey, man, love you, brother. Thanks. Love you. Thank you for all you've done for me and my family, and continued success. Can't wait to watch you do college football.
You have the opportunity to stunt, you stunt, period.
It's Golic and Wingo.
Do you know the lyrics? Because you're singing it like you don't know the lyrics.
I hit a wrong one there. It's my bad.
I was just a little worried. I was waiting for you to go all the way in on it, but I do that all the time in the car where I'm not 100% sure of the lyrics somewhere, and so I kind of just, you know, bop my way through
it. I should just let it go.
Just let it fly next time.
Mike and I were trying to sing The Greatest Showman coming back from the hot dog eating contest, and between the two of us, we didn't get a single line right, but we were still going for it.
I turned the volume way up on that one and drowned us way out. Golic and Wingo's brought to you by Blue Emu. Blue Emu, maximum pain relief, works fast, and you won't stink. It's pharmacist recommended, odor-free pain relief for muscle pain, backaches, strains, sprains, or even arthritis. There is no stinging or burning involved. It's simple pain relief. Blue Emu, maximum pain relief, works fast, and you won't stink.
It's Golic and Wingo on ESPN Radio and ESPN2. Jason Fitz in for Trey Wingo. Sit with Mike Golic, Mike Golic Jr. All of our guests join us on the Shell Penzel Performance Line. There's a great article out there. Bill Barnwell always does great work, and every year there's this moment where all Bill does is make me mad. Because every year he goes out and starts ranking things, and he's usually right. He's more right than he is wrong. And this is the time every year where I'm reminded that the Kansas City Chiefs are great and my beloved Raiders are not. Now he's done it in a new way as he's given us his annual rankings of weapons, offensive weapons for all 32 teams, ranked from worst to first. At the top of that list, the Kansas City Chiefs, to nobody's surprise. You can find the list out at ESPN.com. But guys, he's got at the top of the list the Chiefs, but number two on the list, the Cleveland Browns, followed by the Cowboys, the Bucks, and the Panthers in the top five. So a couple of surprises there. I know we all agree that Cleveland has a lot of talent, but to see them at number two is just sort of this stunning moment.
I'm not shocked if you're talking about weapons for Baker Mayfield. I mean, Nick Chubb, I think, has been underrated, right? I mean, Derrick Henry led the league, but there's Nick Chubb right there, right? I mean, Nick Chubb was close. Nick Chubb had a hell of a year without question. And then you bring in Austin Hooper, the tight end from Atlanta. You have David Njoku, who wants to be traded, but they're not going to, at this point, they're not going to trade him. Two tight end threat, I mean, would be a fantastic situation. Odell Landry having those surgeries, so going to come into this year healthy. I think their weapons, and that's even not even saying about the offensive line. You got your first round draft pick going to play one tackle. Conklin's going to play the other tackle. I know that's not involved in this.
Yeah, for the sake of this list, all other positions are assumed league average.
Right, right. So I think I have no problem. I when I saw number two, I'm like, wait, Cleveland ranked number two in anything. But then you think about it, they have some weapons. That's why I think there is so much pressure on Baker Mayfield this year.
Yeah, I think that when you look at the top three and really the top four, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers sitting there at the four spot is pretty unassailable, right? You could argue, I mean, I don't think you can argue. They have the best wide receiver tandem in football.
Right.
We ranked wide receivers on .com earlier this year. They were the only team that had two in the top 10 at that point.
Right. Yes.
That is the best wide receiver duo there. Really deep tight end room. We know running back is a spot that could stand to be improved a little bit. So that one's not interesting. Where are you guys on the Panthers at five?
I thought
because that was a little rich for my taste.
Right. And is that because Christian McCaffrey is so good that McCaffrey?
I didn't realize Jason Fitz is now from Detroit.
Is that because McCaffrey is so good that he just tips the scales? Because it feels like McCaffrey is the obviously the part of the reason that they're that high.
I think so, because I mean the rest of the weapons you're talking about, DJ Moore is a very, you know, is a solid receiver, but I'm not sure he's one that elevates this situation a ton in this one. And then you're talking about Curtis Samuel. You bring Robbie Anderson down there, so I guess you can argue that that's an upgrade. But to have them top five in here in the same breath, like, the Saints are right behind them at six, and we're talking about in the same division there, and you're looking at that and saying an offense that's got Michael Thomas already in that, and Bill Barnwell says the preface going into this article is receivers are more valuable than running backs and tight ends, and he bases that off the average salary of some of the top paid guys at that position group, where we all understand, and we can all, I mean, we all have been covering this long enough to know we are paying wide receivers a lot more, especially in the modern NFL. So a Michael Thomas as your best player should value increase over what Christian McCaffrey is bringing you, even if he's a great receiver out of the backfield.
Well, and then I think even you go from there, you know, because you pick up Emmanuel Sanders, you have Alvin Kamara. I mean, those three alone, that's ahead of Carolina to me. I completely agree. When I saw Carolina, I get it because of Christian and what he brings to the table. DJ Moore, as you just mentioned, okay. They bring in Robbie Anderson as a free agent, Curtis Samuel as well. He averaged, what, less than 6 yards per target a year ago. I was a little surprised that they were that high. I for sure would have had New Orleans with them. That's not even going even further down the list of other weapons in there. After them is the Giants, as we mentioned, then the Bills, number nine, the Cardinals, and then the Eagles.
The biggest crime, by the way, to me, in the top range is Los Angeles, the Rams, what you're dealing with there. I think Cam Akers is going to be a potential upgrade there, youth at the running back spot. But that receiver, Woods and Kupp, I mean, have been, when Cooper Kupp is healthy and you've got both of them, are great. But I don't know. There's plenty to get into there.